Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal PayMe link or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow, the beauty of His presence, isn't it? The beauty of His presence. I've got an important announcement to make. And this announcement, I'm making it in both worlds, in the spiritual and the physical world. I know you don't understand what I'm saying. I say I'm making an announcement. And this announcement is in both worlds. It shall be heard in both worlds. Yeah. No, your amen is not strong. Yeah. Do you know that when you say amen, you are agreeing with me? Yeah. Or you are just saying amen because it's procedure? Are you agreeing with me? Yeah. May your agreement be strong. Yeah. Stronger than that. Yeah. I'm saying I'm making an announcement. In two worlds. The one you will hear and another one will be heard in another world. Yes. I know your amen. Yes. I'm saying I'm making an announcement. One announcement, but it's going to be heard in two worlds. Yes. Next month is the beginning of the months, according to God, is the beginning of the months. Ah, yeah. Not according to some people who decided whenever we must. I'm saying next month, according to God, the year begins. Amen. Okay, let me ask you this question. On which side do you want to be? On which year do you want to be? The year of God or the year of men? I cannot hear you. So why did you celebrate 2025? Ask your neighbor, why did you then celebrate 2025? If you want to be on the year of God. Ask your neighbor, which year do you want to be? On which year do you want to be? So what is your neighbor saying? Which year? The year of God. So why, what were you celebrating? Because the year of God was still coming. He made an announcement in the book of Exodus that this coming month will be the beginning of months, meaning the beginning of the year. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's... So, this is what I heard in the spirit as I'm meditating about what's going to happen, that you must pray with me because something must happen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Next month, the entire month, you must pray like you have never prayed before.
Amen.
I don't know whether you're going to pray or you're not going to pray. I say next month, you must pray like you have never prayed in your life.
Amen.
This man is going to pray like he has never prayed in his life.
Amen.
And here is the message and the declaration that whatever in your life that has been a hindrance, okay? You see, there are certain things in life that happen because it's not yet time. But there are certain things that happen because somebody is blocking or something is blocking.
Yes.
Next month, which is the beginning of the month, shall be a declaration of new things in your life. No, you're not. Listen, as I'm saying this, why God is showing me this? He's showing me a snake that is coming out of its cover. No, right now I'm seeing that. A snake. I don't know what's the meaning of this. Maybe you know. I'm seeing a snake, and I'm seeing it leaving the skin behind. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. You see, the problem with us is that we associate snake with demons. And the creatures were created by God. You know, there's a time when you must hibernate in your life. Don't be always available. So never, don't always be available. People always find you when they're looking for you. There must be a place where you must make yourself scarce. Am I making sense to someone? When are you going to be unavailable? You put on your status WhatsApp, unavailable for time being. Okay, are these the right people I'm supposed to talk to today? Huh? When a snake has gone into hibernation, you can't see it. It stays there until the old skin is gone and the new skin has come. Some of us, we need to get new skins, new everything, new everything. Honestly, as I'm saying this, I'm seeing a snake leaving the skin. So what is this now? Are you hearing me?
Yes.
It's a confirmation. I never thought about this. Honestly, I'm not lying. I never thought about a snake until when I was standing here now. And I'm making an announcement. And I'm seeing it. What's this? And hibernation came in. Came into my thought. So it means this is not just small.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
I don't know what this means. But it looks like some old skin are going to come off. Hallelujah. Next month, I won't be a man of many words. I'll say one or two words and you'll fall. From next month, you're going to see me like you have never seen me. Amen. This skin is old. We need a new one. Am I making sense to somebody? Tell a neighbor, we have known you like this in a long time, please. Can we have some surprises from next month? Some surprises. Are you excited about this?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
There are things I desire to see coming back in my life 100-fold.
Amen.
And I know what to do. And next month is a declaration.
Amen.
As I always say, you can never twist God's arm to do anything for you.
Yes.
Does not matter what you do. But the devil, you can kick his backside.
Yes.
Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Whatever is in your life that is not God is in trouble. Oh.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So get ready. If you have to fast next month, fast. If you have to do, I'm not going to declare anything for anybody. You must just do whatever you must do in that season.
Amen.
Don't play. Say, don't play. The atmosphere will be open for you to grab or to kick whatever. Kick and. Amen. And many people are also going to be introduced into their ministries. So that's an announcement I wanted to make. Get ready. Amen. You see, it's different when you go on your own. It's different from when God says, let's go. I don't know if you are hearing me. You see, when the pillar of fire is lifted, you know God says, go. I'm saying to you, there's a shift. It says, let's go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm just also happy that it coincides with dedication of the church. And so what comes after that into the church must be new after dedication.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
So this announcement is made. No. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
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 You know why I'm repeating this? I heard no. I know it's not coming from you. It's a sound that comes from somewhere. I heard no. Oh, good people. So it means there's something that is refusing that says it won't happen. So I heard a voice that said, no. That's why I'm asking you to say it again. That voice is silenced.
Amen.
It will happen. Amen. You saw I came here and then I went back because I had something that, that voice must be silenced. It may have been you who said no, but I was good. Say, neighbor, maybe for a moment you manifest that. And we said, no. Have you had a situation where whether you're talking to your parents and or you're talking to your children and somebody's accusing you or to have said no and you said, but I never said no? Who has that experience? Did I say no? You said no. So I know, how can I say no? Who has that experience here? There's an argument about somebody who said yes and who said no or who said yes. What happened there? Have you ever asked yourself what happened? Somebody spoke something that he was not aware he said. Yo, the spirit world is a real world. Much more real than some of us think. Irreal, the spirit world is real. More real than the physical world, if you are a spiritual person. Amen.
Amen.
You know, to an extent that I can actually see what the devil is doing in my life. I can see it. Yeah, you won't. There's no doubt. I can see him. He's doing this. Some of us, we don't even know. I can see he's doing this. I see. No doubt. He has done 1, 2, 3. Guilty as what? As charged. Guilty as charged. I can see. It's you here. But my prayer is that, indeed, from next month, may it be a beginning of a new year in your life. Amen. We are in the season of getting you ready for heaven. This is a season. Amen. These are end time messages that we must preach because Jesus Christ, what? Gimmicks are over. Playing church is over. Amen. Exciting people's emotions, hyping people. It's over. People will go to hell by trying to make them feel good about themselves when they should feel be bad about themselves. Nobody wants to feel good or bad about themselves. No one. But it's good that you feel better about. It's good to feel better about certain things in our lives. We cannot be comfortable. You know, this message from next week, it says, cut it off. Radicalism. Cut it off for next week. Cut it off. Yeah. That's how radical we must be if we want to make heaven. You know, heaven, Bazalan, when it says the road is narrow, only one person at a time. You cannot even be holding anybody walking on the road to heaven. It's narrow. You see? The one to hell, you don't even have to have balance. You can be drunk, you'll still be on the road. You won't get off the road. Because it's what? Did you hear that? Because it's white, you can walk anyhow. You won't go off the road. But this one at a time, and he leading straight like a soldier. How now? Hata go. You don't hear what I'm telling you. This road to heaven is not, hey people. I pray. I told you last week, somebody asked me if I'm going to heaven. I said, I'm praying. My father did not leave me heaven as an inheritance. No, he didn't. I have to work for it. Not even what I've done in my past is going to count anything. It starts today. My preparation for heaven starts today. Start that moment where you are. Because from backward, you could mean nothing tomorrow because of what you're doing today. Okay, I don't know if you are hearing me. So every day is a day of prayer. That's why Paul says, I box myself. Every day. So that I stay on track. The man who wrote the Bible says he's not sure. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
There are so many pressing issues in life. I want you to forget about them. Just forget about them. They'll come. It will happen. Amen?
Amen?
It will happen. But one thing that you don't want you'll see next week's message, it's really partly on those things, that you'll see that Jesus could come when you are still looking for somebody to marry. Somebody wants to laugh, but he doesn't want to laugh openly. He wants to laugh in private. Senator, did you hear that? Whilst you are busy looking for somebody to marry, Jesus could appear. Whilst you are looking. And then he will ask you, what are you doing, sir? I'm looking for a girlfriend to marry. Is that what I said I must find you doing when I come? Are you in the house of God?
Amen.
So, we are getting ready. We are getting ready. Say, neighbor, we are getting ready.
Amen.
Heaven proofing ourselves and making ourselves ready for heaven. Matthew chapter 13 from verse 24. Matthew what? Verse 24.
Jesus told them another parable.
Uh-huh.
The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
But while everyone was sleeping, mm-hmm. his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat mm-hmm. and went away.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26.
And sowed what? Weeds among the what? Amongst what? The wheat. Okay. Yesterday, Pastor Msue had a tough time translating wheat and weeds, because he did not know which one I was referring to, whether I'm saying wheat or I'm saying weed. Amen. So please also, when I'm talking, don't confuse them. Say wheat, you know, maybe we sometimes it refers as tares rather than weeds. Amen. So say weeds. So the enemy came at night and sowed weeds. Now, you see, the common translation and the most popular interpretation. Say, neighbor, do you know the difference between translation and interpretation? Ask your neighbor. Do you know the difference?
Yes.
Translation and interpretation. You know, we are just using these words and we think you know. Translation usually is from one language to another. That is translation. Interpretation is explaining it and trying to, analyzing it and try to make it, and try to get the message out of it. Okay? So that's basically what would be then interpretation. Amen? Are you still here? So that Bible she is reading, what Bible are you reading now? Which Bible is this? NIV is a translation. There is King James translation. There is Sotho Bible translation. There is Zulu translation. But interpretation is what we as ministers do when we are standing in front here or you trying to understand the Bible. Now you're interpreting it. Is it fine?
Yes.
Is it clear? So he was translating yesterday. So now the interpretation, common one, is that this parable is talking about the world and the church, the evil wicked in the world and the church. And this is my belief, that this is not talking about that. And there's so much to show that it's not talking about that. And I'll mention them as I go. But here's the thing. Why I'm mentioning it now is because of this very thing, where it says the enemy came at night. Just read it. When they were sleeping. Read it.
Verse 25. Huh? But while everyone was sleeping.
But while everyone was sleeping. It's not actually saying at night, isn't it? It says while everybody's sleeping. You know, we assume that people are sleeping at night. There are some people who sleep during the day. Like they are sleeping in church sometimes. So to say at night is not correct, because people sleep anywhere, anytime. They sleep in the taxi until the taxi passes with them where they were going. Amen? So the emphasis should be on sleeping than night. You see, this, I believe, teaches us one thing, ministers and those who have a responsibility to pray for the church, is this, that the enemy, when the church is sleeping, plants things amongst us. He plants people. He plants wickedness in our midst when we are sleeping. When you see wickedness thriving in the church, it means bazalwane balele. They are sleeping. Meaning, they are not praying. They are not spiritually sensitive. Yeah. This is spiritual slumber we are talking about here. Say neighbor, spiritual slumber. You could be looking at me now and spiritually you might be sleepy. Hello?
Amen.
You could be looking at me nje umbeke kanje. Spiritually, you are off. You are dreaming spiritually, ulele nje. You don't even hear what I'm saying. Because you are spiritually sleeping. Is it making sense to somebody?
Yes.
So you must pray for yourself also when you come to church. Lord, please, may I be spiritually awake today.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
You could sleep in the church and still hear me preach. I want to confuse you a little bit. You could be looking at me and not hearing me, and somebody who's sleeping next to you can hear everything. Oh, spiritual matters. Some people actually even hear better when they are sleepy. Spiritual things, I mean. Are you hearing? Am I making sense to somebody? So here the Bible tells us, when they were sleeping, what happened? The enemy came and planted weeds. As a church, those assigned with the responsibility to be watchdogs over the church must not sleep on the job.
Amen.
Must not sleep on the job. Intercessors. Don't just be intercessors by name or qualification. Midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's you. You are waken up by spiritual spirit world. Say, hey, the enemy is planting. Pray. Churches get scattered. Churches close. Churches close today. All started by what? Implantation of wickedness. scatter. People start fighting. They're divided. Pastors are attacked from within the church. If you hear wicked people, how they infiltrate churches, you'll understand the need not to sleep. We may not stop them from coming here, but they must not be planted. You understand planting? It means some of them, we even put them into the church board. Sleepiness. That's coma. Say, but now that's coma now. It's what? You see why it's easy to take such wits and put them in positions. Very easy. Very easy. Are you here?
Yes.
This is not the message I preached yesterday, isn't it? Definitely not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let God speak and everybody else keep quiet. Are we together, Bazalan? So I'm showing you the importance of awakefulness, spiritual awakefulness in the church. Spiritual awakefulness in the church. Bazalan, I want to hear somebody being called. One day I want to be called and I'm told that intercessors have arrested somebody. I said, wow. You don't hear what I'm saying. Intercessors have arrested somebody. Come and see. So, wow, arrested, not moving, not able to do anything. Arrested by prayer because he could not be planted because of prayer. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
So that's very important. Every word in the Bible, it's important. That's why every single word in the parable means something. You know, that's why when people want to tell me their dreams to interpret, I say I want details. Some of us, we don't think the details that you are seeing in the dreams are important. Every picture is saying a word. Or it's worth 1,000 words. Amen? So every detail in the parable, like in a dream, every detail is important. So sleepiness, you must ask, what is it? The spiritual matters that he's using and putting as parables, again, for us to understand. So these guys were sleeping. So who's sleeping? Those that are supposed to watch over the seeds. Who are they? Intercessors, ministers, pastors. I pray that I will not snore anymore in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because as we are snoring and sleeping, the enemy is planting in our midst. That's how churches have become the most dangerous place to be. It's supposed to be the safest place. People are destroyed in churches. Better than in worse than in a shebeen. No one comes back angry for a meshebin. They are all laughing. They're all smiles. Have you seen them? They may have lost something like balance they lost. But they still have their peace. They are smiling. But those who come from church, they are hating. Somebody there has done something to them. Am I talking to somebody here? Why? Because we have allowed wicked implantations in our midst. Sleeping. Amen. We have a responsibility to watch over each other. Amen?
Amen.
Ask your neighbor, when was the last time you prayed for someone else except your dog, your house, your car, your wife, your baby, your potential fiancé? Apart from those, when was the last time you prayed for somebody else, for the church? Amen.
Amen.
So that is spiritual slumber, sleeping, snoring, Christians. Let's continue.
Verse 26.
Uh-huh.
When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field?
Mm.
Where then did the weeds come from?"
Now, these people were shocked. Now, they must have seen something which they were not expecting from a wheat, and they thought this was a wheat. Okay. Let me go back a little bit so you understand. And the reason why I personally don't believe and agree with the popular common interpretation is this. The when you look at when you look at what is happening here, you see that, and it's common with weeds and all that, and in particular, this particular wheat. Now, there is a plant in Israel, it grows there a lot, and it's called darnel. Say darnel, D-A-R-N-E-L. D-A-R-N-E-L, that's a darnel. Now, a darnel looks like wheat in every sense. When darnel grows here and wheat grows here, you can't tell the difference. But darnel is a wheat. I don't know if you are hearing me. It's not there. It's not what? It's not. It's not the wheat. It's not the real wheat. Are you hearing me? Are you still here? So, it makes sense that when he was given this parable, that he must have thought along the side of a plant that would be difficult to differentiate between the wheat and it and this plant. Am I talking to somebody here?
Amen.
And when you look at this darnel, you can see that it looks exactly like it. So, one thing that you see here is that there was some kind of resemblance. Can you continue reading there? Continue reading.
Verse 28.
Uh-huh.
An enemy did this, he replied.
Yes.
The servants asked him,
yes.
Do you want us to go and pull them up?
Uh-huh. Do you want us to go and do what? And remove them. Now listen to this. Continue reading.
No, he answered.
No, say no. Okay, why? Why no?
Because while you are pulling the weeds,
yes,
you may uproot the wheat with them.
While you are pulling the weeds, you might inadvertently do what? Pull out the real plants, which are the wheat. Now, why would you do that? For two reasons. One is that it looks the same. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
It looks what? It looks the same. It must be something that is indistinguishable. That's number one. Number two, it must be something that grows so deep and the roots intertwine, they cross underneath the plant. So that when you pull this one, you'll see the other one coming. Those are the two reasons. Now, Daniel makes sense to have been a plant that can easily be confused with wheat. And here is the interesting thing. Now, continue reading there, just that verse you just read now.
Verse 29.
Uh-huh.
No, he answered.
Yes.
Because while you are pulling the weeds,
yes,
you may uproot, yes, the wheat with them.
Uh-huh.
Verse 30.
Yes.
Let both grow together until the harvest.
Uh-huh.
At that time, I will tell the harvesters,
yes,
first collect the weeds,
uh-huh,
and tie them in bundles to be burned.
Now, it looks like at the end, when the plant is fully mature, it will be easier to differentiate than early. Now, are you with me?
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Am I teaching you well?
Yes.
Okay. So it looks like early on, these plants could be the same, yes, and that's correct. Apparently, this Daniel, you can't tell the difference. They'll grow until maturity. Now, something happens when once they are mature. Do you know what is that thing? When they are forming the ears, you know, the ears, the fruit itself, the wheat itself. Are you here? They will be formed the same, but later on, as these weeds grow, the ears grow, are you still here? The wheat ears, they tend to be bigger, fatter, and then they fall, they droop, okay? They fall. But the Daniel ones, they are thinner, and they remain straight and upright. There comes the spiritual truth. The fruit of this thing, it's poor, it's weak, it will weigh nothing. So that's why the Bible tells us that our works will be weighed. Are you hearing us? And our works will be what? Will be weighed one day. And some will weigh nothing. Some will do what? Some, our works will weigh nothing. Why do they do that? It's because of exactly what I'm going to teach you right now. What is a wheat? So that you identify a wheat amongst yourselves. And if you are a wheat yourself, reconsider. Because some of us, we may think that we are real plants, only to find that we are planted. Right here. Look at you and say, neighbor, I pray you are not a weed, you are a wheat. When I look at you, I think you are a wheat. Amen. Did you tell a neighbor, when I look at you, I think you are a wheat? But I don't know. They all look the same. Now, a weed. Now, some properties that we want to look at now quickly. A weed, it has the tendency to compete. It competes with the real plant. That's where the problem is. It competes with what? With a real plant. It competes for what? For food or nutrients. It competes for space. It competes for the sun. Some of them just grow taller quickly so they can get the sun, so that this one must die. They will make bigger leaves so that they catch more sun. You don't hear what I'm saying. Are you spiritually awake? So they make themselves bigger so they can get more ahead of others. And yet they are weeds. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
So they compete. They are full of the spirit of competition. They don't want to be surpassed by anyone. They don't want to be overtaken. They want to be the ones when they see you with a nice hairstyle, they also want it. That's a weed. They want it not because they like it, because they don't allow anybody to be better than them. So they go ahead and do it. Because no one, they see a nicer car you're driving, better than their car. They always want to be the center of attention. They want to be the best. If people come to your car now, their car is being ignored, they have a problem with this one. They want to go. If they don't fight you, then they will go buy a better car. Does not matter how expensive that car is, as long as it's better than yours. They don't care how much debt they have, as long as they maintain this status of superiority. That's wits. They compete for anything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They want to be the first for everything. You cannot go, they don't allow anybody to go ahead of them for anything. They want to be the first to do what? The first one. The first one to drive a car, the first one to first. They are so obsessed with first. Amen. Positions, space. When others are recognized and appointed and promoted, they will be angry. Why not me? Because they compete. Why not me? Say, neighbor, wickedness.
Yes.
Say, those are the weeds.
Those are the weeds.
Hallelujah. So they fight for what? Positions. Do you know people who fight for positions? Oh, yes. I hope they are not in this church. Amen.
Amen.
Weeds like fighting for position. You know, one of the reasons why people are so difficult in committees, in churches and organizations, is because they wanted those positions. Right now, wherever you are working, you find that the most difficult person to deal with is the one who wanted that position. Because to them, they deserve that position, not you. Are you hearing me? Say competition. So they will compete. They thrive in competitions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They fight for the sunlight because they want to be the ones that are shining, the ones that are in the spotlight all the time. That's the character if on that day they are not appreciated for somebody doesn't recognize them. Yo, it's going to be a bad day for them. If this one gets all the attention, and no one says anything to them, weeds don't like it. Say anybody,
weeds don't like it.
Because these are planted to destroy. Here's the thing about weeds that in the church that is disturbing, is that these are the people who will know all the scriptures, who will know the whole Bible. They are absorbing nutrients but they use them for nothing. There's no one who can preach like them, by the way. No one who can share scriptures like them. They are planted. They know what they are doing. It means nothing to them. These are the kind of people who will tell you, don't even quote the Bible to me when they are angry. Okay, maybe you're not the right people I should be talking. Don't quote the Bible. The same person who has been listing scripture, reciting scriptures like this, when you remind them what the Bible says, they get angry. Because the nutrients don't do anything to them. It's a wastage. That word does not change them. It's a letter that kills. Kills them. I said this before, that the most difficult people to deal with in outside there, in church I can see, even in the world, are the Christians, are the so-called Christians, which are weeds. Weedy Christian, but weedy Christian. Not windy, weedy. Amen? They are the... Here's the thing. Now, look at these people who discover the weeds. You can see the shock in their question. They say, didn't we put wheat here? What's this? In other words, the shock that a Christian experiences, the shock that he experiences when he gets this attitude from a so-called Christian. It's a shock. Huh? The way they speak. You know, when you hear somebody, when you get to a place, you hear somebody says, I'm a Christian, you relax. Isn't it true? Oh, the manager is a Christian. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Hey, it's a weed. No, not say it's a weed. Not every manager who's a Christian is a weed. Let's correct it then. That person may be a weed. Okay? But what I've seen is that the most difficult people in the workplace are Christians. The people who give hard time to others are Christians. Okay, maybe it's not your experience. Are you hearing me? They are ruthless when they deal, especially when they deal with other Christians. Because they are not real. They are planted to deal with Christians. You think I'm a Christian, you will treat me. He will treat somebody who's not a Christian better than you. And you wonder, what's this? We thought we were Christians. What is this? Now you are confused, isn't it? You're confused. Am I talking to somebody here?
Amen.
So, when you look at the wheat, the darnel plant, you see that the crop or the fruit or the ears are weak. But these are the ones that have been eating a lot of things. But what did they do with it? Now, here's the thing. It talks about the value of the things that they do. Because they are not from the heart, they are of no value to the kingdom. What do I mean by that? If you are doing things to be seen, you might as well not do them. Because in heaven, they count as nothing. Weeds, because they buy themselves into recognitions, they are the ones that will give the most money to the churches. They will get recognition. You know some churches, you know, some churches, you're now way. I pray they will hear this message. When somebody is the giver in the church, they give them the pulpit. And weeds do that to buy themselves a way to the pulpit in front of people so they can destroy more lives. They are planted. Okay. These are the people who will be preaching and they will be speaking about somebody in the preaching. Hey, bakobisa. Kuri di weeds dia kobisa, neba dia kobisa. Because this one has got access to the pulpit. Otabona, otawusebenza afika. Uzokusebenza mafika. Uzokusebenza. The only thing they will not mention is your name. But everything else will be you. Am I talking to somebody here? They destroy. And that person they are destroying is not coming back to the church and the devil is happy. It's happy. Their work count as nothing in the kingdom of God. That is why in the end it will be easy to tie them and do whatever with, because their works will be nothing. They are the busiest in the church sometimes. Always available. You know, when we are looking for help, we tend to use the help that is available. Say no, your problem is that you are not a weed, but you are never available. You're not. But weeds, they are there. So whenever we need help, we use them. They are the hardest working, because what motivates them is really not the love of God. They are on a mission. To destroy. If you ask, let me put it like this. There is a study that was done some years back in one of the, I think it was Rick Warren's church. What is Rick Warren's church again's name? Okay. It's one of the big churches in America. They did a study there over 5 years. They followed people. When they came, they asked them questions. When they took membership, they asked them questions. Why are you coming to this church? They said, no, I like the pastor. I like his teaching. It really touches my heart. Love him. That is in the first year. In the second year, no. After 5 years, they asked them the same question. Why are you in this church? They said, I've made friends. People are loving here. People are great people. I belong. It's like family. They're no longer talking about my messages. 5 years, say neighbor. You see 5 years, ask your neighbor, how long have you been here? That's why you're talking like this. First year is the honeymoon with the pastor. It's what? It's honeymoon with the pastor. The real test will be in the people, where the weeds are. The test will be when you meet the weeds. So people come to church because of the pastor, but they stay because of you. If the church is full of people who are not real, people are going to be hurt. People are going to leave. That's why it's planting people, because he knows people want to belong. People want to be loved. Those things you won't find in a weeds. Forget it. No love, no caring, no nothing. Cold. Are you hearing me? These are the people who look at you from top down. You are not coming back to that church, isn't it?
Why are you not going? The one chebi, the what's all unchev out to a mo, we are out to. From the top of to the way that person looked at me. And you know what? Here's the problem, is that these people, we give them positions. So because they are in a certain position, you see, like those ministers, you see, they're higher. You see them? You see, they're higher. You see, they're on a higher platform. You see them, they're higher. You see, it's my problem now. I lifted them. You see, it's my problem. I created the problem, isn't it? So when those people look at you somehow, you're going to feel bad, unlike the one who's sitting next to you now. This one is, I don't care, Utsanalina, I don't care. But that one, you're going to care. Because it's like, I've sent them to look at you like that. Are you understanding this? Do you love Jesus Christ? So, people will stay in a ministry, in a church, because of the person next to them, their neighbors. If the mission is not anything else but to destroy, they are going to destroy them. Some of them, their weeds, you trust them with your secrets. I found a friend at church. Ooh, you know, what's that nice? Oh, nice. Say neighbor. Witty nice. Witty nice. Nice Savior. Shoo, nice Savior. Ooh, the one I'm well in Nakate. They can put on a face just to get what they want. They want to destroy you. You keep telling them stuff. One day, you'll meet your story where you did not expect it. And you know for sure how it came there. No doubt. That wheat that you thought it was not a wheat. Destruction. Planted in our midst. The devil knows that you need somebody. We all need somebody. That's why you need to talk to somebody. You know, if you just come here, listen to me, you go home, you're not done everything. Part of what you're doing is fellowship. Not come to listen to the messages and go. No, you need to talk to your neighbor. You need to greet your neighbor. Sense of belonging. That is the one that is targeting weeds. It's not going to happen. They're going to destroy it. But they are all over. Not in this church, maybe in another church. Say, so I pray not in this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Amen. They are heartless. They are ruthless. They are unkind. They are cold. They're evil. They're wicked. They can afford a cheap smile. Of course, it's cheap. Somebody wants to say, of course, it's cheap. Amen. Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue reading.
Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Verse 31.
Now, listen. Now, I want us for a moment to look at the reason why he does not want to uproot them now. Obviously. He's saying that whatever he does, it will endanger the real plant. Okay. Are you hearing this? Yes. He says, whatever he does now, it will endanger the real plant. I want you to think about it. God says, you know, some of us, when we see wicked people thrive,
you wonder why they thrive.
These people are doing so wicked, but nothing happens, and they succeed in their wickedness. They destroy people. It looks like they are succeeding. Are you hearing me? And you wonder why people like this succeed. Like you think one day they will drop in the church like, jaiva. Are you hearing me? And yet they are evil and wicked. You wonder why something bad is not happening to them. I'm not saying that you should wish that. The Bible says we must bless our enemies. We must wish them well. That is the one thing Christians struggle with, to bless their enemies, to pray for their success. How many of us pray for our enemies' success? Let me see. Like you pray serious, like not like one sentence, like 30 minutes of praying for your enemy. Let me see how many hands are still up. Like 30 minutes dedicated for your enemy. Are you sure your hand is still up? Because all hands are down. You give your enemy 2 minutes, that's it. But even then, it's your duty bound. Because the Bible says I must pray for them. Okay, let me pray for them. 1-2 sentences. You don't... Am I talking to somebody here?
Yes.
Most of the time you are thinking, could really, this person has to be stopped, you know? Something has to happen for these things to stop. They destroy people one after another. They can finish it. Some people will call it a Jezebel spirit, whatever. They can finish it. The whole church. Like going and say, but God. But listen to this. He says here, this parable, you can see that the reason why this owner is not doing anything, he says it's for the sake of the plant, the good plant. Now, let me put it like this. Did you know that the reason no judgment befalls on the wicked in the church is because of you? If something had to happen to them, it would affect you. That's all I understand about it. God will have to give us some details. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say, that whatever must happen, it seems it's going to affect me. I don't know how. But if he uproots them, I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow. Could it be that because we are all, no one is perfect? I don't know, but stop wishing anything bad, because whatever must happen to them, you will not escape. Is it making sense to somebody?
Yes.
That's all I can read from this, is that, hey, should he touch them, I'm going to be touched. I'm not going to escape. Let me continue to do good. And let God take care of whatever. He says, leave them. Can you imagine? These things are affecting you. So leave them. Let them grow together. Say never. Growing together with your enemy. I mean, with whatever. I don't know. Grow together. Live with them nicely. Knowing very well what they are doing. Yes. Just leave it like that. Some people may ask. Some weeds have found their way to the pulpit. They are preaching, the weeds. Hello? Imagine how many people that weed on the pulpit is affecting. And because it's continuing with this weedy life. And everybody can see. This one is a weed. But nothing happens to them. They seem to flourish. Are we still together here?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus Christ?
Amen.
So it says, in the end, continually.
Verse 31. Uh-huh. He told them another parable. The kingdom of
heaven. No. Read the previous verse.
Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. Mm. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn.
First collect the wheat. First what? And then put them where? Tie them and send them where? To the fire. Send them to the fire. They are people, the end of which is just going to be fire. Amen. You know, sometimes we are trying to change people. Can do whatever we can, but some people, they are not real people. They are not real. There's nothing. They're just acting. And they don't want to change. They are on a mission. They know this thing. Yabzalwani. But they just, you can't change them. You can't teach them anything. You can't. All they are waiting is to be tied up and thrown in the pit of fire. Maybe, by God's grace, a wheat will hear me today and say, I'm a wheat, sir. Please help me. I'm tired of this weedy life. Amen? Just maybe. Just maybe you are not a weed, but maybe weed. Maybe you can identify with some of the weedy characteristics and say, why do I have a weedy characteristic? But I'm a wheat. What's going on here? Maybe this is speaking to you as well. But most importantly, this message is to encourage those that are of God. Those that are of God. Now, if you read Luke 8, verse 7.
Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You see that? Some seeds. Now, that's the parable of the sower. Né? Remember the parable of the sower? Are you still here? Where some of the seeds fell all over the place. These ones, they fell among the weeds. Among what? Among the weeds. Are you still here?
Yes.
And what happened is that when they were growing, these weeds or this thorn bush or thorns, they choked it. Some Christians have been choked. They are choked. Good, they are choked. Life is squeezed out of them. They end up saying, I don't want this Christianity anymore. They don't believe anymore in this thing. They don't want God anymore. And they lose heaven. Because of some choking, weeds can literally choke you. They can choke you. That's how weeds are. They talk. Amen. My concern and my prayer is for those that can be choked. You. The reason why they are here is not for fun. They are here to choke you. Anyone who's real, who has, they look and say, oh, that one, okay, choke. The one who see Fukari is energetic, is excited about Christianity, is looking forward. Okay, choke. Yeah, oh, Hama. Are you hearing me? You wonder that person who was so, enthusiastic and so energetic about God, suddenly, he's just here because what? People know me to attend church. Let me just go. But life has been squeezed out of me by that weed. Wheat don't like to see life. They want it out. Yeah. Anybody, yeah, you try to work hard, they come to you, say, you think you are better. Think you are better. You want the pastors to like you. And you wonder, wow, what to? How much about Mudim? Jehovah. I mean, out of nowhere. I mean, these things you don't expect, isn't it? Out of nowhere. No, na libiti rilo na wase. Hey, what has been eating this person all the time? What was it? No. You're not better than anybody. What did I do? They are choking you. Are choking you. They are not happy to see anybody work for God or growing in the things of the Spirit. They are not happy. They are coming with a choker. Electrocute you. Take life out of you. Are you hearing me? They are scanning and seeing who's who. Actually, they are here for that. They are planted by the devil. They are not part of you. They are part of a system that destroys lives. Kilona little na kireke maba. Eh, shuf, but they were little nengati. That's Larry. I hope there will be correct translation for this because, yeah. They say, what? They leave you tired. You know, they leave you what? Like, yeah? They leave you what? Like, they just suck life out of you. That's why you look like, And they do it quietly. On the side, who are you going to tell what? The two of you on the side, they deal with you nicely. And he's like, you can't tell, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? They finished you. Yeah. Chokers. Say about chokers. They don't joke. They're here on a mission. Are you hearing me? They're not part of us, but they're with us. And they are there. But apparently, they're not going anywhere. You must be strong. You must know. You know, I always say this to people, that no one, you know, I said this when I had problem, or I had a problem with somebody in another church. And I said, no one is going to make me leave this place until the pastor carries me physically and put me outside the gate. Not anybody, the pastor. Stubborn. No one. Not even the pastor said, go. No. Since when this place is owned by pastor? This is God, isn't it? Yes. The only thing I will respect is when he carries me physically and put me outside and say, don't come back here. Then I'm gone. But until then, I'll be a nuisance to the enemy in that place. I normally say I came alone and I will live alone on my own accord. I came on my own accord. I will live on my own accord, not on another person's. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Because if you don't do that, you will be a playground for weeds.
Hey, you, they will enjoy you. Ooh. Weeds, they will like you. Because you will be giving them life. Are you here? How are you future-proofed and heaven-proofed is that in this time we are living in, we are going to see more of this. Because the enemy is infiltrating the church like you have never seen before. In this time we are living in. Wickedness like we have never seen. I mean, everything, not only just members, some are prophets. Come with the prophetic gift, they come with, they're all planted. Teaching gift, seeing gift, they're all planted to come and destroy. I pray that none of them will take hold in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you encounter one, just say, thank you, Lord, I now know who's a wheat. What a discovery. Thank you, Jesus. And then you just say to the person, okay, it's fine, I heard what you're saying. In your heart, you say, what a weed. As you're walking away, you say, what a weed. Never seen a witch like this one in my life. Are you hearing me? Instead of you carrying head and you know, why? Huh? You just say, wow, pleased to meet you. You don't say weed. Pleased to know you. In your mind, you finish the sentence, weed. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Thank you very much. I'll think about what you have just said in your mind. You say, think about what? Nothing. Because this is a weed. A Christian who comes to you with a word of advice seeks to build you and not destroy you. Okay? So, be strong, little ones. Do not allow those that claim to be more superior than you, but yet God does not know them, oppress you and choke you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.